again with all our hearts now.
Lord, oh Lord, you surely have been good to me.
I'm singing, Lord, oh Lord,
you surely have been good to me. Lord, oh Lord, you surely have been good to me. You have not what this world.
Oh, one more time, everyone together now. Yes, Lord.
Lord, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
You surely have been good to me.
Oh, Lord, oh, Lord.
You surely have been good to me. Lord, Lord, Lord. You surely have been good to me. You have done what this world cannot do.
Hallelujah. Let's give a hand clap and praise. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You tasted that the Lord's good this morning.
Amen.
Lord, Lord, what the world never could do, I tried the world. I tried this, I tried that. It never did anything for me. But I tried the Lord one time. And Lord, you surely been good to me.
Amen.
Woo. And now in Christ, the only time you get messed up is when you decide to fix something.
Sure.
But the Lord, when you choose Him, it's never bad. It always tastes good. You're sick, guess what? There's healing right there for you, already provided. What else do we read there? When I was lost. Oh, how many's been lost before? Got to have a revelation you're lost before you can get saved now. But the day you woke up and said, I'm lost, there was a Savior standing 2 inches away from you. Lord, you've been surely good to me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We got Brother Trevor this morning. I'm not going to prolong the time. I'm going to try not to preach because that ain't my job. That's why I let him come this morning. I ain't supposed to preach today. So we'll invite him up right now. Let's just go ahead and sing that Lord, Lord, Lord again. Let's just invite a nice presence for the Word to come speak to us. And Lord, Lord, Lord,
you surely have been good to me.
Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord,
you surely have been good to me. Oh, Lord, 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 you surely have been good to me. You have done what this world.
Thank you, Lord God. Lord, 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 again.
Oh, singing, Lord, 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 you surely have been good to me. Lord, 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 you surely have been good to me. Lord, Lord,
bless the Lord.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. Good to be with you again.
Amen.
Wonderful to be here. Wonderful to have Brother Andrew with us this time and his family. And we meant to bring our family, but a couple of the kids had a little too good a time. Maybe ate a couple too many corn dogs. And it was a rough night. So I decided not to take them with me. So, otherwise, we did want to bring the whole family and have fellowship. But while you're standing, just turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. We'll read a scripture and I'll let you be seated. So Matthew chapter 4, starting with verse 1. It says, then when was Jesus led up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of a temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he saith unto them, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, In him only thou shalt serve.
Amen.
Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Let's just pray. Heavenly Father,
yes, Lord Jesus.
Lord, though we be few in number, Lord, that we know that has absolutely nothing to do with it, Lord. Lord, we know that you're here with us.
Yes, Lord. Thank you for coming this
morning. Lord, and where you are, Lord, great things can happen,
Lord.
We know that you're a big God, and so today, Lord, we ask that you would just touch each and every one of us, Lord.
Every life, Lord God.
Lord God, make us different than the way we were when we walked in.
Yes, Lord.
May we all, every one of us, be closer to you, Lord.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Lord, we desire you and we long to worship you with all of our hearts.
Lord, this morning.
Lord, we love you. Be with us now. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And you may be seated. Amen. So
Amen.
I wanted to just tell you, before I get started here, I don't want to take too much time because I'm really not sure how long this is going to take or how this is going to go. Last time I did this was with a translator at a little Congolese church, so
Amen.
It takes a little bit longer sometimes. So we'll just see how this goes and where the Spirit takes us,
Amen.
I guess. But
yes,
I wanted
Lord.
To just tell you a quick testimony. You know, I'd say it was about a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago, and on a Wednesday night, you know, and how you feel sometimes. You get done with work or you're a little late leaving work and you're tired and,
Amen.
Man, you know, and you're feeling like, I don't know. But, you know, that kicks in and you know you do what to do. You know you should be doing the right thing. So you go to church and, you know, we don't want to just make it another church.
That's right, brother.
We don't want it
Amen.
To just be, man, this is just okay. Here we are. This is what we do. It's Sunday at noon. It's time to gather,
Come on,
and,
brother.
You know.
Preaching.
But sometimes, you know, we'll be honest with ourselves. We do that.
Sure.
We do that sometimes. But and so it was one of those times that, you know, here I was there sitting in church, just Lord, I'm tired. I'm just not in it. I want to be, but you know, the flesh is just weak here, Lord. And you know, we listened to a tape there at the tabernacle and. Then Brother Collins gets up and he starts talking about how, you know, we had God with us. You know, the Lot and his people had two angels visiting them,
sure.
You know, but Abraham had God.
Amen.
That's right there.
Yes,
the bride had God. And, you know, and we don't take that too far, of course.
Right.
You know what I mean with that. But, you know, we have, in this message, we have God Almighty here.
That's right. Yes, sir.
He's given us everything that we have need of. And
Amen.
And when he gave us his word, he gave us all of himself.
That's right.
Fully
yes,
revealed in the last days.
Thank
and
you,
so
Lord Jesus.
He was just talking about that a little bit and, you know, how we have the blessings, you know, here with us. And he said, so, you know what we're going to do? And he says, I'm going to ask a brother to pray for us tonight. Well, just a little back up to that. We have a brother in our church that served in the first war there, Desert Storm, I guess, in Iraq. And dealt with chemical warfare and things like that, and there's a Gulf War syndrome now that they call it. No cure, they don't really understand it. It's just kind of a catch-all, what they call it when you were in the war and they don't understand what's wrong with you. So he's had different issues and the Lord's brought him out of it. He's had cancer, I believe, and we thought we were going to lose him years and years and years ago, but you know, he's up and doing well, and
Praise
then
God.
All of a sudden he just lost his voice, couldn't speak. Nothing they could do, didn't know what was wrong. And for 2 years, that brother hadn't spoke a word.
Oh, mercy.
And that night that I thought, oh, just another church service, Brother Collins asked him to pray. And he dismissed the service in prayer for us.
Hallelujah.
You know? And
Glory
like,
to God.
Amen. We still serve mighty,
Hallelujah.
Mighty God. So...
Yes, sir.
The Lord had healed him that earlier that day, and he
Thank
had called
you,
up Brother Collins and said, Brother Collins, and told him everything, and you know, how his
God.
Wife and daughter must have felt when they got home
sure.
that evening.
Hey,
you know,
hey.
And so we're just,
yes,
we're
Lord.
So happy. He's, you know, he was always this kind of a distinctive brother. He says amen in church a lot, and he just kind of has it in his own way. Amen. You know, and you just, man, to hear that in church again after 2 years.
Is, yes, Lord.
It's a wonderful thing. So,
amen.
You know, we serve a big God, and we need to expect great things.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Because he gives us these things. So,
amen.
My original title for this sermon was Choosing Hell. But I want to try to take a slightly different approach to it as I was driving up here and just communing with the Lord and trying to find his mind on what I should preach. I thought about preaching a sermon about the millennium a little bit. But just really felt that in our day, we need to focus on the subject of worship.
Amen.
Because Lord, there's so many things that pull and that try to take our worship away from the one who should receive all of our worship.
Amen.
So I want to just speak on the subject of worship, and we'll just title it that because I have no idea how else to go with this. I'm going to maybe pull some stuff from a couple different service sermons, so you just pray for me, and
I'll
try not to preach both sermons today, but we'll try to preach parts from each, just to put your fears at ease there. Amen. So I'm just looking at the title of worship, the definition of worship, because we just kind of want to make sure we're all on the same page. And one of the definitions there, to feel an adoring reverence or regard for something.
That's it.
And that's kind of what we're talking about. We're not talking necessarily about the act of worship, the fact that we're all here, that we're lifting our hands in praise. That's wonderful. But really, truly, when it comes down to worship, it's where our hearts, we can lift our hands in praise.
That's it, brother. Come on now.
And say, Lord, I love you, and be thinking about something else. Well,
that's right.
Is that worship?
Come on, brother.
Well, it's worship for whatever else you're thinking about at the time, but it's not just because you pray, you know, lifting your hands. So, as we read here in Matthew 4, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. See, Satan there with Jesus was trying to get even our Lord Jesus here in flesh to worship him.
That's right.
It's always been, we'll just start talking about him as Lucifer, because we're going to go pick him up in the beginning. But it's been Lucifer's desire to receive worship from the beginning.
Yes, sir.
And Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
Yes, sir.
So if you turn to Luke chapter 12. We'll pick up a scripture real quick there. Luke chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven.
That's right.
So let's just talk about blaspheming just really quickly here and try to talk a little bit about that. Now, I'm going to read a few quotes about blaspheming. By no means is that intended to be all the quotes that Brother Branham said on blaspheming, but just a few that maybe we don't normally hear, or a look at the subject that maybe we don't talk about very often or don't really understand. But Brother Branham, in the message Unpardonable Sin, and that's what we feel blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is, the unpardonable sin.
Right.
So in the message, Brother Branham is dealing with this subject. He says, sin in its initial form is to reject the revealed word of God.
That's it.
Oh my, amen.
Or the will of God.
Right.
When God has revealed something as his will, to reject that is to blaspheme.
Yes, sir.
Or to reject God.
Right. Amen.
So Brother Branham, in another message, the message of paradox, says, I've seen critics stand off and make fun and carry on of a Holy Ghost revival. Now, we would say, well, blaspheme the Holy Ghost, right? He says, and after a while, God get a hold of the same man and change him.
That's it.
And here he stands right in the pulpit preaching the same thing that he once hated.
That's it.
A paradox how that God can take the unbeliever and make a believer out of him.
Yes, Lord.
In the book of 1 Timothy, Paul writes, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief.
That's
it.
And in another message, Brother Branham talks about a woman. He says, now a lot of people deny speaking in tongues. They say it's of the devil, and you good Nazarene people, your own church, there is where it's backslid.
Yes.
And he begins talking about this woman, and He says she came in, and he says, since the anointing's been striking me, she come to my house. The Holy Spirit told her exactly what was wrong, told her all about some horrible, sinful things she did, and pronounced her healing. The woman went away, got with a bunch of Methodist and Nazarene preachers that believes that anybody speaks in tongues has got it, is a devil. And the woman believes that, and she's blaspheming. She'll never get over it until she comes and receives the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You can't mistreat God. No, be careful what you're doing. One word against that will seal you out of the kingdom of God forever. So we do believe that to make fun of it is to commit the unpardonable sin. But let's not forget that there's maybe a something else in there, and that's, like Brother Branham said, rejecting the revealed word of God.
Yes, amen.
Now, you can ignorantly persecute people in the church. You can ignorantly do these things. But when God reveals that to you and then you reject it, I'm guaranteeing you done. Over. Okay? Now, many of us could look at someone and say, well, they rejected it. It's not, you know, and even, I think this is something the devil tries to put over us. I want to be careful that I don't, you know, tell them too much, because maybe they'll say something bad and then they'll be gone.
Come on, brother.
I think we could probably redouble our witnessing efforts, friends. Let's not give the devil so much credit.
That's right.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
Amen? And we could even think, I've been working on this brother or working on this sister, trying to get them to see, and they continually don't see it. I mean, I've even heard, I've given them a tape, and that just didn't strike them. Okay, did it strike you the very first one that you heard? I mean,
come on, brother.
Come on. You know, there are times where God is dealing in the heart, and we don't know that.
That's
but
right.
God is dealing with it. It might be 20 years later, and it's
God.
Like, man, that
yes,
I have
Jesus.
Never heard anything like that day. And a spark was quickened when they heard it, but they didn't even maybe realize it, or it didn't come to fruition, but there was a spark that happened. That word began to take hold because we believe that the word of God is effectual.
Yes, amen.
And so anyway, I don't want to take too much time on this,
but
where I'm going with this.
Amen, sir.
Is that it's rejecting the revealed word of God that is the unpardonable sin.
Right.
Amen?
Yes,
so
sir.
We can, not that we, obviously we wouldn't want to be making fun, we wouldn't want to be found making fun or, you know, in company of those that are making fun or anything like that. And I believe that if they are doing that, they're on very, very dangerous ground.
Sure thing.
But we don't want to just write them out. We keep the door of grace wide
Amen.
Open.
Yes,
Amen.
Lord, that's right.
But sin in its initial form is to reject the revealed word or the will of God.
Yes, sir.
Exactly. He says, in the Path of Life, tells the story of the Lutheran dean. Maybe you, hopefully you know the story. He said, the man said, the very idea, I drove 15 miles last night through a blinding snowstorm, thought I would hear a servant of Christ, and what did I hear but a polished up soothsayer.
That's right.
Now, many of us at this point would be gone, done, it's over, forget it, out, bye-bye,
Come on.
We're done with him at that point.
Mercy.
Okay, the very idea, a man with 15 years in the mission end fields, you've been preaching for 25 years, and the grammar you use, and you even said so much that Satan could not heal. Shame on you for such a remark. And this is a letter that he sends to him.
That's right.
Brother Branham continues, and in his nice, kind letter back to the man, he says, I want that through ignorance you did it. And so then he gets a chance and an opportunity to go, and he's there with this Lutheran dean and all the ministers there of that college. And they want to know how can they receive the Holy Ghost, and he tells them about the cornfield, and I'm sure you know the story.
Come on, brother.
He says, I went around and laid hands on them, and 40 received the Holy Ghost right then.
Glory.
Now they're 500 strong, going, having signs, miracles, and wonders, so forth.
Yes, sir.
So we can see that it's not just saying the wrong thing or necessarily making fun, although that's just not a good idea, but to reject it when it's presented to you and the revelation of it is upon you and you reject it, it is committing the unpardonable sin.
Yes, sir. Right.
Amen.
Yes.
So, Brother Trevor, how does this talk, how does this fall into worship? We're going to get there. Hebrews chapter 6, you don't have to turn if you don't verse 4 through 6, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, have tasted the heavenly gift, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucify themselves, the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame.
Amen. Come on.
So it's impossible when they're enlightened. And enlightenment, now, again, we might think, well, I've told you about it, you're now enlightened. They might have been thinking about something else.
That's
we
right.
don't know this, okay? But when they're truly enlightened and the revelation has hit them, Amen. And they walk away from it because of a connection to something else that they value greater.
Come on. Did it now.
Remember, what were we talking about? Worship. And it was the adoration or reverence of something.
Right.
So when they revelation is there upon them,
right.
but why would they reject it if there's a revelation upon them?
That's it.
Because they value or they adore something more.
Yes.
They have reverence for something more than that revealed word of God to them.
Amen. That's it.
And there we find the tie into worship. Amen?
Yes, sir.
So let's talk about Lucifer just for a moment. For about 20 minutes.
That's all right.
Something like that. Okay, so we know God in the way back in the beginning, he was Elohim.
Yes.
He was self-existent.
Right.
But God in him, he had attributes.
Very,
he wanted
yes.
to be a savior. He wanted to be a father.
Exactly.
He wanted to be a friend. He wanted to be worshipped. And so he begins to create the universe and create everything that is now that can be seen. God created.
Yes, sir.
And God wanting worship, one of the things that he did was to create angels.
Right.
So the express purpose of these angels was to worship Almighty God.
Right.
And once he created angels, then he became God because there was someone there to worship him.
Amen. Amen. Right.
Now we know that we're created in his image.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Exactly.
And so if God wants worship.
Come on, brother. Preach.
And we're created in his image.
That's it. Say it, brother.
Somebody say good preaching. Amen. I mean, you understand that. That's something about us, but it's because we're like God and there's nothing wrong with, you know, enjoying someone giving you accolades or something like
sure.
that.
Come on.
Because it's something, but we need to make sure that it's, oh yeah, it's because of him.
Right.
And that we view that rightly, that it's not just because I went through these certain set of circumstances and studied the Bible and spent time.
My.
No, it has nothing to do with this flesh guy right here.
Amen.
And everything to do with him.
Amen.
And so we need to understand that about ourselves, that we want worship because we're created in his image and he wanted worship.
Come on, brother.
Amen.
Preach.
And so if anybody starts, you know, thinking, oh, God, you know, the God you serve, he's just, you know, my goodness, how self-serving. He just wants all this worship all the time. Well, they are lying because they want worship all the time.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly true.
Tell them to look in the mirror.
That's right.
Amen. Okay, so angels were created to worship. Now, in a message adoption 3, God was self-existence, but he wanted to be a savior and... But being that he was God, then there must be something to worship him because
yes,
he loved worship. And his own being created creatures to worship him. He made angels, and angels worshiped him. Angels still worship him.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen?
Yes.
So Lucifer then, and there's Gabriel and Michael and Wormwood and these different angels that we know their names for.
Right.
Amen.
They had different, you know, God has different orders of angels. One place,
yes.
Brother Branham says that seraphims are the highest order of angels. So there's different types and that sort of thing. And we're given some details to that whole kingdom in the scriptures. But, you know, we honestly, we don't know a whole lot about it.
Right.
But we do know, Brother Branham said that Gabriel was an archangel and Michael was an archangel. And he also said that Lucifer was an archangel.
Yes, sir.
Now, he says the right-hand man of Almighty God was Lucifer,
exactly
the
right.
son of the morning, the first. God created him almost co-workers with him.
That's right.
He was a co-worker, partly equal with him.
Come on now.
Only Satan could not create.
That's right.
God is the only creator, but Satan took something that God created and perverted it back into something else. So look at the position that Lucifer is in.
Exactly.
Partly equal. Right-hand man of God.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Only thing he can't do is create.
Right.
Big guy.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Sure.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
You know, if he don't want that position, that's, you know, I'll take it.
Right.
If you'll notice, just about the time that Jesus came on the scene, Judas on the scene, and he was the Antichrist, the one against Christ, the natures of the spirits now. Judas was a religious man. He was not an infidel, and all of us know that he was the Antichrist. He worked very closest hand to Christ, yes, his right-hand man. Did you know that in heaven, the devil was God's right-hand man in the beginning? But his problem was his pride went over in the north and set up a kingdom and fought against Michael and his angels.
Yes, sir.
And so we know that battle that happened in heaven before Lucifer was cast out. And what was it that Lucifer wanted?
Amen. Come on.
What was the reason that Lucifer decided to leave the position, the high status that he already had? Well, it's because in 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4, verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
Yes.
Brother Branham said in India Trip Report, notice what Satan did. Lucifer in heaven wanted a better and a more beautiful kingdom.
Exactly.
Did you see it? It's always been that way. So it is today, friends, that Lucifer wants a better and more beautiful kingdom than God.
Right.
So we know that he was cast out, and you know that there he was in Eden, and that started the trouble down here on earth, and that that there was that battle and that he lost.
That's right.
And so what was Satan, then Lucifer, he begins to say, you know what? I just don't want to have this restriction on me. I think I can do the same thing, you know, and I can begin to make this, even though he had this restriction that he could not create, but yet he could take these things and he could go and he could take his own angels away and he can set things up in the north side and then people can begin to worship him.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So he says, sin begin in heaven, where God put the angels and so forth on the same basis that he put human beings on. And when Lucifer was given the preeminence to make his choice, he wanted something better than God had. That started the trouble.
That's it.
Something better than God had. Now, what did we just talk about when we talked about blasphemy? The revelation coming upon you.
Come on now.
But then you deciding, no, there's something I worship more. There's something I adore more that I just can't commit myself to that because it will change me too much. It will take, me, and I can't be what I think I should be.
Come on.
Even though we all know what God wants for us is absolutely the best.
Amen. That's right.
And it would make us absolutely the happiest we could possibly be.
Sure, yes, sir.
But yet, no, I don't want this. Because too many restrictions, mercy. Too much of this, that, or the other. And so what we do, we desire something better.
Oh my.
In our own mind, it's more beautiful kingdom.
Sure.
Mercy.
Than God had.
That's exactly right.
It's worship, isn't it?
Yes, it
it's
is.
It's worship.
That's it.
So we'll skip through here. We know that the devil was cast out. Now, we come to something very interesting. God's power to transform. Brother Branham says, Cain come to worship, and he had the wrong seed in him, the serpent seed. The hiss of the serpent had hissed over him, for he was the seed of the woman.
Right.
He knew the perfect will of God, but he refused to do it.
That's it.
Did you know that? Satan knows the will of God,
yes, he does. Come on.
But just refuses to do it. Notice he had seen God vindicate Abel's message.
Right,
now I want you to think. Use your thinking man's filter for a minute now.
Yep.
Abel's correct message that God had vindicated to be the truth. Are you drawing now? Abel's message had been received. Cain saw it and knowed that God had vindicated the message.
Yeah. Come on. Uh-huh. Yes.
Right. Otherwise he wouldn't have been mad, right?
That's right.
Why?
Exactly.
He was mad because he saw the vindication was there on Abel's offering, but not his own.
Hallelujah.
So he knew it had to be vindicated or he would never have gotten mad. But he couldn't do it. His pride kept him from it.
Exactly.
His pride kept him from doing it.
Amen.
Now, we continue on. Brother Branham says, that day on Calvary, death was the penalty, the requirement for sin. I believe that a man that has eternal life can never die.
That's right.
And I believe there is a complete annihilation of that soul that sins. That's why we don't believe in an eternal hell.
Exactly. Right.
We believe that you might, who knows how long it might last for, but one day you will be annihilated. It's a complete separation from God. You're done. Toast.
That's right, yes.
Bye-bye. No more you.
That's it.
Or hopefully, amen. You know, that doesn't apply here.
Right.
Amen. So, how I disagree with the universalist.
Yes.
He says, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die, not the man. The soul that sinneth. So Satan must surely die to be completely destroyed. How I disagree with the universalists that say Satan will be saved. Where did they ever come up with something like that? He sinned, and he's the originator of sin.
That's right.
And his soul sinned, and he was a spirit. That spirit shall be totally annihilated to be nothing left of it.
Amen.
Amen?
Right.
Now, we know that Lucifer won't be there on that day.
Right.
We also know that God created all kinds of angels.
Yes, he did.
Right.
Come on.
I think we even have a quote somewhere down here where he mentions that, let's see here. God created the devil. He created every fallen angel there is. Is that right?
Come on.
That was their choice,
sure.
Not his. He created you.
Right.
What are you doing about it?
Right.
You'll be judged the same way as they are. Now hold that, because we're going to come back to that. I am looking for the quote here. Yes, it's this one right here.
Thank you, Lord.
Redemption, or Redeemer redemption. Someday when life is over, friend, I've often wondered, what will take place when all the redeemed of all ages stand around and we crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords? When the angels will stand with bowed heads, not knowing what we're talking about.
Praise God.
They don't know what it is to sin.
That's right.
They never fell.
Right.
They don't know what it is to be lost.
Right.
They was never lost.
Right.
Wait. You just read the... Wait. Fallen angels obviously had to have sinned.
Sure. Wrong, brother.
So we have a problem in the message now.
Uh-huh.
That's what they'd like us to think. Now, what Brother Brandon was talking about here is Revelations 5,
yes.
Verse 9. They sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. That's the bride.
Yes,
singing
sir.
A new song.
Right.
And we talk about the angels won't be able to sing it. They don't know what it's like to be redeemed because they never fell.
Lord, Jesus. Thank you,
that's
Lord.
The angels he's talking about.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There were some that fell, and there were some that didn't fall.
That's right.
But hang on a second. Now, when with us, we are fallen. We have fallen.
Right.
And we know what it's to be redeemed.
Sure. Yeah.
Now, how come there's no redemption then for Lucifer and those fallen angels?
Preach, brother.
Isn't this a problem?
Come on now.
Here's these created beings from God, and they are fallen, but yet there is no redemption. You say, well, God made himself lower than the angels and came as in the form of flesh to redeem man. And that is true. And we praise God for that.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
That is our lifeline.
Yes,
but
it is.
Perhaps we might think, but that's just not fair. That God would create some angels.
Sure.
And that they would be fallen.
Right.
And there's no redemption. There's no way they can get back. That's God. That's not fair.
Ooh.
Maybe we would think that. So we continue to look at what we're talking about. Now, what we said about Lucifer, right? And what we talked about Revelation. And knowing what the will
That's
of
it.
God was.
Yes, sir.
And knowing we know what sin, Brother Branham said, in its original form,
right.
Was to reject the revealed word of God. Now, did Cain reject the revealed, vindicated word of God?
Yes.
Amen.
Did Lucifer reject the revealed, vindicated word of God? The man's God's right-hand man.
Right.
He knew what he was doing.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
Those angels that followed him made a choice in the beginning to follow Lucifer. They knew what they were doing.
That's right.
And there is no redemption because there's nothing there to redeem.
Right.
That's right.
It's not fallen in the sense that we're fallen because we make fleshly mistakes in our ignorance.
Come on, brother,
but it's because they knew the revealed will of God.
Yes.
And to go and to follow and worship something else was blaspheming.
Amen.
And they can't be redeemed because there's nothing there. They're gone. It's
right.
done.
That's right.
Because they blasphemed. But these angels here that can't sing with us, They've never made the wrong decision.
Amen.
And they're going to be there.
Yes, sir.
They've never sinned. They can't sing a song of redemption.
Right.
Even though we will, because of this fleshly body that has to be redeemed. Amen. But they weren't fallen with that, and they stayed with God and never made that wrong decision.
Amen.
They stayed with the revealed Word of God.
Amen.
Now, I know you can all begin to make parallels to our own lives.
Yes, sir.
To where we know the revealed will of God. And where we should be like those angels that will be there and continue in that and not stray from that revealed Word of God.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
Now, so, but we know that Lucifer today, Brother Branham says, he's trying to work in the church to accomplish the same purpose that he started before the foundation of the world.
That's it. Come
now,
on.
He didn't say he's trying to work in the world the same purpose.
Preach, brother.
That he started before the foundation of the world, but he's trying to work in the church the same purpose.
Yes. Amen.
That he started before the foundation of the world.
That's it, brother. Come on.
Now, Brother Branham said, hell was created for the devil and his angels.
Yes, sir. That's right.
It wasn't for human beings.
Right. Amen.
He says, if you go, it's because you willfully and want to go.
That's it. Exactly.
That's right.
You can't go easy. You have to fight your way into it. Did you know that?
Yes,
you
sir.
You can't go to hell easy. You have to fight your way to it. Now, it's not necessary that any man would go to hell. God don't send no one to hell. You send yourself
to hell. That's exactly right. Amen.
My, yes, God done everything in the world that he can to keep you from going to hell. And yet you determine to go to hell. You fight over every barrier, every barricade God puts in your way. You go right over it. I don't believe in this, and I don't believe in that, and I don't believe in this. Just headlong. He says, now a red light here in the city, it turns red and green. You know when you can stop and go. If you run it, don't blame the city.
That's right.
They put the light up there for your protection. But if you run on through it, that's up to you. It's you. You brought your own judgment.
Yes, exactly.
Amen.
Amen.
So if we find ourselves in a position where we think, oh man, I don't want to go to hell. Well, look, you're fighting to get there.
That's right.
Because God in this day has given us his revealed word.
Amen. Come on.
We have the message of the hour.
Yes,
it's vindicated.
Praise his name.
Just like Cain could see Abel's message vindicated, there's people that are upset with this message. They don't think it's fair. Why should this one man, this
Preach,
from
brother.
Kentucky, get to have all this stuff and everybody follow him? And who says he's right? Well, God vindicated it, and they're just showing it again.
Amen.
Because the
Praise
pattern's re-fulfilling itself.
Right. Amen.
And we can see that. So, we know that it's the revealed will of God.
Yes,
to
sir.
Reject it then is to make the same mistake Lucifer made.
Yes.
Amen?
Right.
Now, we don't want to do that.
No, sir.
So, the devil then, let me just scroll through here just a moment. He was the first one to take the wrong road. He began to draw after him, hoggish, trying to take all for himself and try to override somebody else.
Yes.
So, let's just stop and just think about, we'll just kind of recap here, and then I'm going to switch over and we're going to pick something else up to continue this. Now, let's just think, just kind of imagine in our minds, heaven,
Amen.
The throne.
Yes, sir.
God Almighty up there on the throne, high and lifted up, his train filled the temple, as we know in Isaiah 6,
uh-huh.
right? And the posts were trembling at the voice. That are spoke there. And the amber mist that comes out, the bright light that comes out. And here are the angels. Here's Gabriel. Here's Michael. Here's Lucifer. Standing there in that presence. That's what I want.
Amen. Come
Amen.
On now.
Do we want to be in the presence of Almighty
yes,
God?
Jesus.
How many of us would want to be Isaiah there as he talked about in Isaiah 6? I was up there and I could see this. And I fell on my face. Woe is me. I'm undone.
Amen.
This is so awesome and I'm so unworthy.
Yes, that's it.
Do we realize that this is actually what we should
that's
have?
Exactly. Amen. Right. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus.
Now, when God created Adam and Eve, how did he create them?
Come on, brother.
He created them one.
Yes, that's right.
There was one being. Adam
yes,
and
sir.
Eve. One being.
Woo! Come on.
But God, see, God wanted it to type him and his
yes,
bride.
That's exactly
so
right.
From Adam, he
Hallelujah.
Pulls out Eve.
Yes.
It's a part of himself.
Exactly. Glory to God.
Almost co-equal with him.
Okay. Oh my.
Right?
Come on,
Where
brother.
Have we heard this before?
Come on, brother.
We've talked about this. Okay. Almost co-equal with him.
Come on.
Except they can't create. Oh, but yet mercy. When a spirit born,
Woo.
Spirit-filled
oh,
son of
oh,
God
my.
Takes the word into his heart
Hallelujah.
And places it upon his lips, that's
yes,
the same
Lord.
As deity speaking. Every mountain has to go. Satan cannot stand before that man.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
So that's the position that we are in.
Right.
The same position that at the beginning Lucifer was in.
Woo.
Now we don't like
Glory
to compare
God.
Ourselves to Lucifer.
Come on,
but
brother.
In one day he held the position that every single one of us would want to be in.
Come on, sure. brother.
Standing
Praise.
There waiting on our God.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Right hand.
Sure.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
But yet that is the position that we are in.
Thanks, brother.
If we are living according to the dictates of God's word, and if we have been redeemed and filled with his spirit,
yes, Lord.
God putting his seal upon us saying, that one is mine.
Hallelujah.
He's divided himself
yes.
after Calvary,
yes.
and he's placed himself into this body.
Amen.
And it's a part of him now.
Amen.
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 Glory to God.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Believe it.
So, how wonderful that is. Excuse me.
Sorry.
How wonderful that is. Now, Lucifer was created into that position.
Yes, sir. Come on.
And the difference for us, then, is while we should have been created into a similar position, yet man was fallen.
Right.
Right.
Yes, sir.
And so now, we are more redeemed into that position.
Right.
So we ought to be more grateful for it.
Yes, sir.
Because exactly. we know we do not deserve it.
That's right.
Right. Amen.
But yet, for all of that, it's sometimes so hard not to make the same mistake that Lucifer made.
Sure.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
It can be very hard for us not to make the same mistake. Why? Because we begin to get lifted up.
Oh, help us,
you
Lord.
See, God can even begin to do things in our lives.
Amen, that's it.
He
Preach.
Can begin to put a gift there or any,
yes, sir.
You know, many things. And what begins to happen?
Yes, preach, brother.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep, that's me. Right.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Woo.
Pretty good.
Come on.
Let me preach now.
Yeah. God have mercy.
And what begins to happen? We begin to draw up in ourselves.
Yes, sir.
And we begin to desire that worship for ourselves.
Right.
And if we are not careful, we will make that same mistake and we will begin to worship something else, whether
oh
that be
my.
Ourselves or anything else out there, because as we just talked about, Lucifer is trying to do the same thing he's always done.
Yes.
And he's trying to do it in the church. Now, I don't say this church, but the church general.
Yes, Lord.
Satan has come into the church, the nominal worldly church, and what is he doing? He's lifted himself up saying, worship me.
Amen.
I sit here as God.
Right.
And the people are deceived because what have they done? You take them a book, you take them a tape. Now, caveats like we talked about earlier, but they see it and it's revealed to them. There's truth there.
Right.
That no. My wife would never go for that. No.
Nope.
Can't do it.
That's it.
Okay.
Exactly right.
That's rough. But that's who's more important?
Right. That's right.
Amen.
That's it.
Do you
brother.
Worship your wife or do you worship
God? That's right.
Amen.
And so this church world sits there and now they're religious and they can think, "Oh, I'm worshiping God." But they're really worshiping Lucifer.
That's right.
They're worshiping that kingdom in the north.
Right.
They're worshiping those the third or two thirds, whichever one it was, that went with Lucifer.
Amen.
Okay? And so he's set himself in the church. He's deceived the people.
Amen.
Because they're rejecting the revealed word of God.
That's it. Yes, sir.
Amen.
But yet they're worshiping something.
Still. Sure.
Right.
So if we can turn to Ezekiel 8, what time we got?
All right, brother.
12:57, okay. Let's try to do this in a half hour or so. Bear with me. I drove 4 hours to get here.
Glory. Oh.
I was driving while you all were still in bed. So. Maybe. Probably. I don't know. But anyway. Ezekiel chapter 8. Now, just a prerequisite to this, or actually what would be actually the sequel to this chapter, is chapter 9. And what this chapter is talking about is the abominations. We all know Ezekiel chapter 9. We should know. It's where God is showing Ezekiel what's going on, and he says, hey, I'm going to destroy these people, start at Jerusalem. Though he has an angel that goes out and makes and seals everyone and says, anyone that doesn't have the seal, you destroy.
That's right. Yep.
And he puts a seal on everyone who's not sighing and crying. Amen. For the abominations done in the city.
Yes.
And so, what do we think about that? When we know that we're supposed to sigh and cry for the abominations
right,
of the
amen.
City.
Right.
If we have the Holy Ghost, you know, oh, and that's the check, right?
Yes.
And it's like, you know, how many have been sighing and crying last night for the abominations done in the city? You know, and real quick, we're all like, yeah, that's bad. And then, you know, it's way more than that, but that's another sermon. So what is it we think of when we think of those abominations done in the city? Well, it's Ezekiel chapter 8 that actually defines that, that
there
shows us
amen.
What God was showing to Ezekiel. But many times we think it's, you know, it's the adultery, it's all these things, it's the drug use, it's the murder, it's the fighting, and just man being ugly and evil.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we think that the abominations done in the land is.
Come on.
But it is so much deeper than that. So let's look at Ezekiel 8. Again, we're talking about worship here. Ezekiel 8, it came to pass in the 6 years, 6 month, 5th day of the month, I sat in mine house, the elders of Judah sat before me, and the hand of God fell up there upon me, and I beheld in lo a likeness as the appearance of fire from the appearance of his loins ever downward fire, his loins upward as the appearance of fire, the color of amber. He put forth the form of his hand, took me up by a lock of mine head, and the Spirit lifted me up from between the earth and heaven and brought me into visions of God. To the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, and there was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And behold, the glory of God of Israel was there according to the vision that I saw in the plain. So here's Ezekiel lifted up by his hair,
sir.
And shown Jerusalem. And the glory of God is there.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
But yet there's the seat of the image of jealousy. And he says unto me, Son of man, lift up your eyes now the way toward the north. I lift up my eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. So we see, and we can look into the histories, and the scholars will tell us that this was likely an image to Baal. They're in the city of Jerusalem. There's an image that they are worshiping that God is jealous of because he's a jealous God and he wants the worship.
Amen.
He's the one that was created for that.
Right, right.
And so here is an image to an idol. Now, is there likely abominations, is there that we would think of? Is there likely, you know, adultery going on? Is there likely murder going on in the city? Is there likely stealing going on? Sure, all these things are probably going on in Jerusalem at this time.
Right, amen.
But what is God bringing Ezekiel to show him? He's showing him an image that the people are worshiping that's provoking him to jealousy.
Right.
What is it that he doesn't like? They're worshiping something else.
That's it. Exactly.
That's the point. But yet, he says, furthermore unto me, verse 6, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary. But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. You mean there's abominations greater than just worshiping an idol?
Come on.
What did we see out there in Jerusalem? It's outside the temple.
Come on, brother.
There's an image there in the city to Baal. Open, outright, doesn't deceive anybody.
Right.
It's evil. We know it. And there's plenty of things in our own lives and in the lives of the worldly around that they're worshiping many, many things.
Right.
We could go and list them. We could talk about the college football games.
Yes, sir.
We could talk, just a worship fest. Now, am I saying that you can't go to a football game and watch a football? No, I'm not saying that, but there's many people that are there that are worshiping. So
sure are,
you just better be sure you're not one of them.
Amen, brother.
Because that's what God's seeing as an abomination.
Yep, amen.
Okay? So we can talk about these open, but I think we'll pass through that so that we just don't have to, you know, be tedious about these things. We all know these things. We're believers. We should, you know, these things should be obvious to us.
Right.
Amen? So verse 7, he brought me to the door of the court. When I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then he said unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went and saw, and behold, every form of creeping thing, an abominable beast, and all the idols in the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan, every man with his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. And they said unto me, well, we'll stop there for just a second. So we have 70 elders. And the wall that he saw a hole in, and he digs through, and he goes and he sees, this is the temple wall.
Yeah.
And so inside the temple wall, he sees 70 elders of Israel that you would think, these are the religious men. These are the men you go to for help in your walk.
That's right,
brother. These are the men. And what does he find there? But he finds that they've made their little message caveats.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, we have plenty of those. You know, well, you know, he says kick the TV out, but, you know, there's so many television shows that can be streamed on the internet,
sure.
Right?
Right.
I mean, and we have our little message caveats there.
Come on, brother.
You know, it's the same thing, but it's not strictly written. So, and so here they are, these elders in Israel, and upon the wall of the temple, they have painted these images, and they're worshiping these images. Now, they have not transgressed the law, per se, because they have not created an image.
Right.
They have merely painted said images, and that's different.
Yeah.
Sure is.
Now, we could go and list all kinds of caveats that we have.
Get it, brother.
But the problem is that we have things portrayed upon the wall that we're worshiping. You see, the issue is worship.
Amen.
It's what are we worshiping?
Amen.
I mean, I could hit all kinds of things to you just like, man, he's got a chip on his shoulder. How many of those things does he do? Probably some of them. I'll just be honest with you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord help us. Because the devil, see, is out to grab our worship.
Yes, that's it.
I mean, you go to the gas station and, you know, what do you hear?
Right.
Boom, boom, boom. You know, all kinds of stuff. It's everywhere. The devil's just worship me. Worship me.
Preach,
worship me. You drive down the road. You go to the grocery store. Whatever it is, you worship me. Worship me.
Sure,
worship
amen.
Me.
Yeah.
It's
amen,
everywhere.
Sure
and
is.
So it's easy for us to fall into these things. And like I said, look, there's nothing wrong with us watching a football game, per se.
Hit it, brother.
But yet how easy is it for us to get into the worship just like all those other people?
Amen.
We have to be so careful that we're not beginning to take the worship that should be to Almighty God and place it on something else. Because we were created to worship Him, just like Lucifer was created to worship Him. But Lucifer in the beginning took that worship and said, no, you know, I know the will of God, but I have something better. You see, I could live a good life.
Sure.
I can have, you know, the message stuff. I can, you know, not tell dirty jokes, and I can live right and dress right and have the holiness thing, but yet I can come over here and I can have a couple of these things that aren't really, you know, pastor doesn't really like them, but I kind of do, and I can have these things, and I believe that the message is true, sure, but yet, so what are we doing?
Come on,
we're creating our own little kingdom that we think is just a little more beautiful than what God has given us.
Amen.
You see, I like any of the things here, but yet there's a few things over here that I like too. So if I can just take those and mix them, you know, kind of like they did at the Council of Nicaea.
Right. Wow. That's it.
Which produced denominations.
Right.
Wow. Really? Is that? But yet every day of our lives, there's the temptation that we would take our worship and put it over here and over here,
yes,
and create this mixing of worship.
God have mercy. Amen.
And what was it? All these men had elders in Israel.
That's right.
In the temple with images portrayed upon the wall. That's
yes,
something else.
Amen.
These are the religious people.
That's right, brother.
You know, it's kind of a funny story. I was telling a brother about this, and I begin to just kind of explain it. Another pastor friend of mine, and begin to explain it. I was like, "Man, brother, it was the images portrayed upon the wall." And he's just like, "Oh." And there was a certain basketball games that had been going on, and it was a big thing, you know, around their area. As you know, everybody's got their local teams and everything, and his team happened to be doing pretty good. And he doesn't normally, you know, but just happened to be, this was a big game. He's like, you know what, let's relax tonight. Let's, you know, he wouldn't have missed church for it or anything else, but, and so he doesn't have a TV. But he grabs his projector and his laptop, and they streamed it on the internet. He put it on his wall. And you're like, within a week, I'm telling him, brother, it's the images portrayed upon the wall. And he's just like, oh. But, you know, and I, you know, I'm not saying that he was, you know, living in sin or anything like that. It was just how the Lord had just
sure
brought that together, that we need to be so careful.
Yes, Lord.
Friends, that Facebook and
yes,
the
brother
movies and Twitter and
yes,
internet
brother
and TV and what are
right
these things but their images portrayed upon our walls?
Right.
I mean, literally, people hang 50-inch things on their walls nowadays. It truly is portrayed upon the wall.
That's right.
It's not on a little thingy in the corner. It's hanging there
right
above the mantle so everybody can see it. Gather around.
That's
our
right
little sensors.
That's it, brother.
You know, let's not forget video games. You get
yep
it. You know
come
what
on,
I'm
brother
talking
that's
about
truth.
Images portrayed upon our walls. The
Lord
media
amen
that we take in, the things that we read, the things that we see, the things that we're looking at. Amen.
Amen.
So what does he say then? Verse 12. Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. Like our living rooms. For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. And he said unto me, turn thee again. Thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Really? Greater than worshiping idols out there in the open? Greater than the wrong kinds of things being displayed on, in our homes and everywhere? Yeah, greater. Then he beheld, brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Now let's just dive real quick. Tammuz was, if you study the history there a little bit, was basically this love story that happened. And I can't remember if Tammuz was the guy or the girl. I think it was the guy. And they couldn't be together. And then one of them, I think the girl, died. And it was so sad for Tammuz. And then it became this god. And then it became this tradition that these women would go every year at this certain time
mercy
and weep for this poor, poor Tammuz who couldn't have his love. And that almost sounds like books that
yeah
way too many people read.
Amen,
so, the message Christianity versus idolatry, we'll just dive into it here. Idolatry is a strange thing. Down through the ages we've had it, ever since, I guess, the beginning of time. Now, the order for this idol worship is that the man sets up his idol, fixes his idol, prepares himself for this great worship. I'm just going to, you know, kind of go through quickly to get to the point here. He's made in the image of some god he's never seen. He's without a form, so he believes he's in the image of this idol that he makes to his god. Now, don't let that leave you. The image is the image of the mythical god that he believes first is. Then he goes before this idol and prostrates himself, believes that the god, that's an unseen person, comes into the idol and answers him back. And
yes,
many of you teachers that took mythology, even those gods, they battles with one another, they claimed and everything in those days. Now, in other words, the god hypnotizes himself
yes
from his supernatural standing into the idol and speaks back to the worshiper through the idol. And the worshiper, in some kind of built-up
yes
emotional sense, believes that the idol speaks to him, to his heart, and he's forgiven of his sins. And what more, through this idol, which plainly shows it's the devil, It's the devil that does it.
Amen.
What do we take from this?
Come on, brother.
We need to understand the things that we become emotionally invested in.
Yes, sir. Exactly
because
right.
What is it? I mean, we're just kind of coming deeper. It's not necessarily just the things we see with our five senses.
Come on, brother.
Now we're coming deeper. Where are we at? Exactly. We're in the spirit realm. We're in our memory, imaginations, conscience, affections, and reasonings.
Yes,
and
sir.
We're in that emotional realm now. And God is there dealing with this realm. He says, see what they're doing? They're here in this temple and they're worshiping. They're weeping. They're emotionally invested in some other thing. When if you're in the temple and you're in the house of God, where should you be emotionally invested?
Amen.
You should be emotionally invested in Him. But many of us have gotten ourselves so pulled away by so many different things, even good things. Oh, you know, mom wants this or that, or she's struggling with that. And you know what? I feel sorry for mom, but God can take care of mom.
Amen.
You need to be worshiping Him.
Yes, Lord.
Because when we put our eyes on Him, everything else fixes itself.
Amen.
Amen. So we need to be careful with the things that we become emotionally invested in.
Yes, Lord.
And, you know, what could these emotional gods could be? Well, feeling good. I mean, we all like to feel good.
Sure.
That's why we drink coffee in the morning. I'm not saying coffee is bad. I drink a cup, a few times a week too. But why, you know, why do many young people and even older people, why do they turn to drugs? Why do they turn to alcohol? Why do they turn to these things? And we talked about it last time I was here a little bit. But they're turning to it because they want to feel good.
Exactly. Amen.
They want to feel good. And there's many things that, you know, that we go to do to feel good. You know, we'll ride roller coasters. Why?
Sure.
It's fun. It's thrilling. It's great.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. But we have this insatiable desire to feel good all the time.
Right.
Why do, and this is one I never understood, but you know, fifth grade, went to a birthday party, watched my first Friday the 13th episode.
Mercy.
Yeah, scarred for life. I mean, 2 weeks, I couldn't sleep. I was scared out of my mind.
That's right.
But people like feed on this stuff.
Why?
And they, why? I don't know. It's an emotional thing that they enjoy having for some weird reason.
Right. That's right.
What is it? We're making these emotional connections with our spirit being.
That's right.
Sure.
And it's not just the things that are portrayed upon the wall, but again, it's the emotional connections and attachments that we're making.
Yes, sir.
Even things like bitterness. I mean, why is it so hard to forgive somebody? No, I am gonna stay mad at you. Why?
Come on.
Why? It's you are worshiping that emotional attachment. That person is coming trying to say, I'm sorry. I messed up. You're like, no, I'm mad. I'm gonna stay that way. It has nothing to do with that person, but everything
right.
to do
right.
with the emotional attachment.
Sure.
With you.
Amen. Right. Exactly.
My. So, you know, goodness, people still act like, you know, they're 35 years old and they still like act like they're in a high school fashion show.
Sure.
Clicks.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy. I'm like, haven't you gotten past high school? And yet, you know, we have people that just like, oh, they don't dress quite as nice as we do.
Exactly.
It's unchurched.
That's right.
What is that?
Right.
Oh, I have to have myself feeling aloof or better or whatever it might be.
Mercy.
But friends, we gotta let that stuff go.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
What is that? That's trying to build up our own little. I want to feel good. You know what it is? God is sitting here and says, "I want to love you like nobody's ever loved you."
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I want to take care of you. I want to provide for you. I want to be your guy. I want to be Him for
Amen.
You.
Yes, sir.
I want to be it.
That's right.
And all I want is for you to just let me be that for you.
That's right.
For you to just love me and look to me and, you know, I mean, how great does that feel, brothers?
Yes.
And your wife is just like, yes, you're
that's
it for me.
That's it.
And that's what God wants.
That's exactly
Sisters,
right.
When your husband goes, I want to marry you, it feels great.
Sure does.
Picked you out of everybody else in the world. That's what God wants. He says, I want you to pick me.
Amen.
Out of all the things that the devil has out there for you, I'd just like you to pick me.
Amen.
Right.
Not
yes.
me and then go flirt.
Ooh, my.
Right.
Just me.
Amen.
Amen.
That's
so
exactly
we
right.
got to lose these emotional connections because you know
yes,
what? It's those abominations that we are supposed to pray for
yes.
that are done in the city.
Amen.
we shouldn't have them being done.
That's right,
in our own lives. Amen?
Amen.
Let's see here. Let's pass. Okay, so we're on verse 15 again. I guess, then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. Now, there were, 24 different orders of priests, and one high priest. Now, I just looked these things up. Might not be true. I don't know. But this is what the histories and, you know, the research into the Jewish traditions and things will tell you about that. So, 25 men. But where are we at? We're at the inner court of the Lord's house. The door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, and there's 25 men. So, it makes sense. So, but that's where we are. They had their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they worshipped the sun toward the east. And then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger, and lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in my fury, mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And that they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet I will not hear them. So here are these elders, these priests, in the inner court of the Lord's house, and they've got their backs to God.
That's right.
And what are they doing? They're worshiping the sun of the morning.
That's it. Exactly.
Where is he? He's sitting in the temple of God.
That's right.
Showing himself that he is God, being worshipped as the Son of God. You see, Satan desires worship.
Yes, he does.
And everything that he's done from the first day until now is to bring the effect that all would worship him.
Amen.
He wanted to set himself up as God and depose God from his throne.
That's right.
And so he's still continuing to do that. And like we said, he's trying to do that in the church realm.
Yes, sir.
And we find, even in today, we find one of the biggest abominations, and this is going to tie right back into our blasphemy and the revealed will of God being the initial form of sin. What do we find? We find that Satan's desiring worship. So he's going throughout history, and he's slowly, slowly perverting the worship of God over to the worship.
That's right. Yes.
And like we mentioned at the Council of Nicaea there in 325 AD, and how that was a polygamy and Christianity get blended together there by Constantine. And we know this as we look through the church ages and things. So Satan desires that worship. He even tells Christ, I'll give all these kingdoms to you if you just worship me.
That's right, man.
If you just set me up, I'll give you everything else. I just want your worship.
That's right.
And that's what that's the deal that the devil gives to every single one of us. You just worship me, I'll give you everything.
Amen, brother.
No problems no more, just worship me. The message, Satan's Eden. We'll try to go through this 10 minutes here and try to wrap this up. But he says, now the cunningness of the devil now makes the people believe that they are a Christian when they are not. There is the thing.
Yes, sir.
A few paragraphs later, he says, people ignorantly worshiping Satan, thinking they are worshiping God.
That's right.
Like we talked about, we'll just read 1 Thessalonians 2, 3 and 4 again. Let no man deceive you by any means, for the day shall come, that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
Yes, sir.
So it's Satan sitting in the church of God, showing he's God, and people are ignorantly worshiping him.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Okay? So in Genesis 3, we go back to the beginning again, and what do we find Satan doing? This is the first time that there was preaching.
Sure.
Yes.
And Satan comes to Eve and says, hast not God said, and then he begins to say what God said.
Right.
You see, he begins with the word of God, and
sure
he begins
does.
To repeat to her these things, But then he begins to slightly change it just a little bit. You see, he's trying to use those things. He's trying to use the things of God against the very people of God.
Yes, sir.
Now, he says, that deceitfulness of the church today. He says, the son of perdition, the people worshiping Satan in this day, thinking they're worshiping God, but they're worshiping him through a creed.
Yes.
Man-made denominations. Creeds that's brought the people right down to the greatest deception the world has ever known of. And no matter how much the word of God promised for this day is preached and vindicated, they still won't believe it.
That's right.
Look, when Jesus comes, see, Satan was in the bunch of Jewish teachers, rabbis, priests.
What did we just read there?
The last abomination before he says, I am just going to wipe them out, and we go into Ezekiel chapter 9. We have 25 men in the inner court.
That's right.
Who are they? Rabbis, priests, trying to tell them the law of Moses.
Amen. Come on, brother.
Was he? Whoa, whoa, whoa. So Satan was in these priests and rabbis.
That's right.
Trying to tell the people to go out and live a life of sin. Trying to tell them, leave your wife. Trying to tell them, go take drinks, take drugs. You know, kill somebody, steal, lie, cheat, whatever it is, go do that. Is that what Satan was trying to tell the people in that day? No, that's not what he was trying to tell the people in that day. Trying to tell them to keep the law of Moses, when the very word said in that day the Son of Man would be revealed. So the one Moses said is going to come was standing there amongst them, and they were saying, no, look what Moses says. Moses, not this guy. Moses, not this guy. And that's exactly what they do today.
Yes,
Jesus, and amen, it's Jesus. But they're like, Jesus, is there a prophet? Oh, maybe not, I don't know. But if there is, it ain't Brother Branham.
That's right.
Yeah, forget that. No, we don't want that revealed truth of the word today.
Get it, brother.
What is it? It's a Cain again.
That's right.
Knowing that it's the vindicated word of God.
Yes, sir.
And choosing not to walk in it.
Yes. Amen.
So Satan is now in the church today. Yes. He's brought it around to where you can worship Jesus. You can, you know, Saul was all kinds of religious.
Yeah. That's right.
He was a murderer, but he was all kinds of religious.
Yep, that's right.
And so you can be religious today. You can murder people in your heart.
That's right. You can
have lust. You can have all kinds of things, and you can still say, oh, but Jesus forgives me.
Right.
You can reject his word in this day and think, oh, everything's good. You see, Satan has set himself up on the throne.
That's right.
And it's the greatest abomination. And then it comes down and he's even trying to get into this message.
Yes.
That's where he wants. That's the only thing he doesn't have at this point.
That's right.
He has the church nominal. He has the unbelievers.
Come on,
he's got everything but the bride of Jesus Christ, which he'll never have.
That's right.
But he's trying
to
pull as many away as he can.
Yes.
And how is he going to do it? He's going to do it as he just said up here. They're worshiping him through a creed. Man-made denominations and creeds that's brought the people right down to the greatest deception the world has ever known of.
Yes.
That's right.
Amen.
As
long as they kept them religious and on the law of Moses, but this man isn't that person. See how deceiving he is?
That's the
real day of deception.
Yes, sir.
So we need to be careful that we don't worship other gods. Whether it be worldliness, whether it be a religion that we're creating in our own mind that looks something like this message but isn't quite,
right?
That's where it's really, we got to be really careful.
Help us, Lord.
We have got to stay balanced in our day.
Amen.
We've got to stay so balanced. We've all seen people going off this way, going off that way, having their own little clique, having their own little this. We need to not be guilty of that.
Now, amen.
I believe God's got good people in all those places.
Sure does.
And that God is going to call them to a place of balance and a place of where we can see and agree on the entire message, not just one little tree branch, you know?
Yes,
amen. We can all be on the same tree. Some of us are on different branches looking back towards the trunk going, well, there's a knot over here. No, there ain't no knots. Well, you're on the other branch.
That's right.
Why can't we say there's no knots and there's a little one over here? That's what a tree is.
Sure, brother.
It's okay. We've got to stay in the middle of the road and not create these denominations and these creeds.
That's right, brother.
That is where the devil would like to get in this day.
Right.
And take what? Our worship.
That's right.
And take our worship.
Yes.
What is it about? He created Lucifer in the beginning to worship him. And Lucifer thought, I got something better than this. Well, that's not the same thing.
Amen, brother. Amen.
And we can stay in the position that God has called us to.
Sure, amen.
And that is to be in his presence. We fall on our knees. Brothers and sisters, we ought to be in his presence.
If amen.
Not in his presence daily, then there's something wrong here.
That's right, brother.
There's some kind of worship going on somewhere else.
That's right.
That we need to get rid of.
Amen.
Because we should be sighing and crying for those abominations, not partaking in them.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. So as God told Ezekiel to dig a wall in a hole in the wall of the temple, well, what are we? We are the temple.
That's
we
right.
Are the body.
That's exactly right.
Of Christ. So Lord, dig a hole in my heart. Dig a hole in this wall, and Lord, show me if there's anything, if there's any worship going on, anything portrayed on the wall, any emotions going somewhere else. Or if I've got something just a little funny and the devil's trying to grab my worship through some kind of religious realm,
take it away.
All three realms of the whole body, body, soul, and spirit. Lord, dig a hole. Reveal it to me.
Amen.
I want to worship.
Yes.
Only you.
Oh, hallelujah.
It says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed are beautiful on the outside, but within are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness.
Right.
You outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. We're talking about abominations being done in the very temple of Christ.
Amen.
I believe that being an image of Christ makes you a Christian. And it's not what we do outwardly, it's what happened inwardly that makes us what we are.
Amen.
You see, when God comes on the inside,
that's it.
It's only going to worship him.
Amen.
And it's an inward worship. Are we going to struggle with this flesh? You know, there are many of us, and, you know, younger man, I struggled like nobody. I mean, struggle. It seemed like all I did was struggle with my own flesh, my own stupidness. And we all, and still to this day, thank God I've matured more. But, you know, it's still a struggle every day.
Amen.
But it's not about that.
Amen.
Can we just let that happen? No. It's because there's something on the inside.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Because he that's in the image of Christ, it's because of something that happened, it says. He says, it's what happened inwardly that makes us what we are.
Amen.
It's our inward worship to God.
Yes, Lord.
That makes the difference. And if we're worshiping him inwardly, then that's going to, in our soul, that's going to affect the spirit. If we're worshiping him in our soul and our spirit, that's going to affect our body.
Amen.
And that's how it works, friends. But it's all about worship. Because what a travesty it would be, and I'm closing, but what a travesty. Imagine Aaron. Okay, we've got Moses up there on Mount Sinai.
Come on, brother.
The cloud is up there. There's rumbling. People are saying, there's no way Moses can survive that. I mean, the glory of God is so heavy on that mountain. There is no way that Moses can survive. I tell you what, let's do. Aaron's make a God for us.
Yep.
And so here, oh, the glory of God, and I'm making a God. And so here Aaron is fashioning a God.
Oh, yeah.
And how close is he to the very presence of God?
Oh, my. Amen. That's good.
And that better not be us, friends.
Oh.
Because I forgot to bring my little message book up here that I always bring to a so I can hold it up. But we are standing right here. This is a message book I'm holding near the glory of God. We have got so much.
Yes.
We have got the full revealed word of God right here for us.
Amen.
Let's not stand right next to the glory of God and fashion something else.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. That's a preacher's
boy. That's right.
Amen.
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 Let Jesus Christ have first place. Let him be the Lord of all.
Yes.
Let's just pray. Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Lord, your glory, your presence is so close to us, Lord. You've given it to us, Lord. As we talked about earlier, Lord, if we go to hell, it's because we fought over that presence to get to it, Lord. That we've rejected you and denied you. And Lord, let that not be for any one of us here.
Yes, Lord God.
Lord, we want the desire of our hearts to be you. We want to worship you with everything, every part, every fiber of our being, O Lord. Let our, Lord, when we wake up, let our first breath worship you. When we go to bed, Lord, let our last thoughts be to worship you. Lord, may we have a single eye and a single heart that we could look towards you and be so in love with you, Lord. Oh God, as you move in this place, Lord, just, Lord, dig a hole in the wall.
Yes.
Reveal, Lord, if there's anything, Lord, that there's an, if there's an abomination being done on the inside, Lord, reveal it. That we can let it go, Lord. Lord, you're so good to us, Lord. We know that even, Lord, even sometimes there's things we have a hard time letting go of. Addictions or whatever it is, Lord, but there's even times where you're so good, Lord, that you even take it away.
Thank you, Lord God.
Lord, our hearts are right. We want to get rid of everything that we struggle with,
yes, Lord.
We desire, Lord, to be in that glorified body where we don't even have a sin, Lord. But we're stuck in this fleshly body. Lord, I pray that you would just well up your spirit and refill us. Lord, anoint each one of us with fresh oil, Lord Jesus. And you're so good that you even that you give us overcoming power, and you take these things from us, even sometimes, Lord, when we're struggling to let them go. By your grace, sometimes you just come in and you just make it all go away.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Lord, what a blessing you are.
Yes.
How we ought to love you, because you loved us first. You died on a cross, bore our sin, bore our shame. Lord, we love you. You are great. You are wonderful, Lord. Lord, as we close this service now, may you just come and touch each one of us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just sing a little song with me. Jesus be the Lord of all. You know it.
Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. The kingdoms of my heart.
Sing it. Jesus, I surrender all.
Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. The kingdoms of my heart.
Jesus be the Lord.
Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all.
Yes. Worship him now.
Jesus be the Lord of all.
Lord, kingdoms
of my
heart. One more time.
Yes, Father. And Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. The kingdoms of my
all. Let's surrender all now with all our hearts. And Lord
Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all.
softly. Just bow our heads together. I'm sure if you were a human this morning, you felt convicted. I know I did. Things that we've invested our emotions into that we ought not to do. But I'll tell you one thing, that's the greatest sign of real worship is you're able to repent. That was the only problem with Cain. That was the only problem all the way down the line. They wouldn't repent for doing wrong and rejecting that word. But if you can repent this morning, let's go ahead and do that from our hearts. Saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to invest my emotions into anything but you. Wash me. Make me clean this morning. Would you pray that with me? Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we just rededicate ourselves to you afresh this morning. We thank you so much for this word, Lord, that it would cut off all the things that are contrary to you. Lord, may the word take effect in every heart, that we would be better Christians, Lord, that we wouldn't invest our emotions in the devil in any way, shape, or form, but we just totally surrender our hearts to you. Lord, we thank you for being an ever-present help in the time of need, that when we fall and we stumble, Lord, all we have to do is say we're sorry, Lord, and you're right there to help us up again. We thank you for being here this morning. We thank you for speaking to us again. You're such a wonderful God. We're glad that you're the same today as you've always been. And anytime somebody would open the door to you, Lord, you always came. We invite you, Lord, into every kingdom of our heart.
Yes, Lord.
Just make us just like you, Lord. May every time we breathe, just be Jesus.
Yes.
I love you, Father.
Yes, Jesus.
You're so wonderful, Lord. You deserve every minute of our praise. Oh, we love you, Lord. We dedicate ourselves to you again. Thank you for coming this morning, Lord. You're our guest of honor, Lord. We don't just want you to be first place, Lord. We want you to be the only place of our life. Credit to each one, we pray, as we worship you again, Lord. Let's sing now with all hearts. Oh, Jesus, be the Lord of all. Jesus, be the Lord. Singing it. Let's just give him all our hearts now. And Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. The kingdom's of my. Would you appreciate the word of God this morning? Hallelujah. Can we give him a hand clap of praise and adoration?
Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you this morning. Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's good to be in His presence. It's good to know that He loves us. And I love to be able to show that back to Him.
If you have a need this morning, don't leave without it met. God, Jesus Christ died for all of our needs. If you have a need, you can come forth for prayer. Brother Trevor can pray with you. Don't be in a rush. If you know He's here now. I know you don't have to even hear me say that. You know that He's here because He's in the worship of His people. He promised it in the Word. So if you have a need, come forward. Otherwise, we're just going to worship the Lord a little bit longer here. And we'll have you go soon. Can we sing 205, There's a River? If you don't know it, it's in the book there, 205.
And there.